You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto and I'm glad you could join us this evening. We are thrilled to launch our new show, actually our new old show. DottoTech has been around for some 15 years on television, but the powers that be decided my face wasn't really appropriate for TV anymore, so they moved me over to radio, and now I found a home here on AM 650 on the radio, and I'm really, really kind of glad to be back in the saddle. Missed it a little bit. So for those of you who have watched our TV show in the past, you know that we basically try and look at how technology fits in our lives, and it's going to be the exact same here on radio. We're going to look at gizmos, we're going to look at gadgets, we're going to look at websites, we're going to look at social media, we're going to look at the impact technology has on our lives from a personal perspective, from a business perspective, from an educational perspective, and we're going to try and make you understand a little bit more. And the team is me, Steve Dotto, and we've got my producer, Art Factora. Art's on. Hey, Art, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm very excited to work with you, Steve.
I'm excited to work with you too, Art.
Yeah, I think any of my exes can say that I'm a gadget geek and love everything from I'm on my phone all the time to video games to online, so this is very exciting
now,
for me to work with.
Are they exes because you're a gadget geek?
They would probably say so, yeah. Myself, if they had a keyboard on them that I could type, and that would have been perfect.
That doesn't really resonate well for technology, but we'll try and get past that. We've got a great show lined up for our first show, I hope. We're going to be talking about the launch of the new iPad 2. Are you a Mac guy? Are you a Mac guy, Art?
If I had the money, yeah, I'd be a Mac guy.
You're not a Mac guy. Okay.
I've toyed around with the iPad. I've got friends who can afford Macs, so yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to be looking at the new iPad, too. We're going to be talking about that. Of course, it launched last week to much fanfare and lineups and people scrambling to be the first on the block to have an iPad, too. We're also going to spend a lot of time today talking about this phenomenon of social couponing, where you golodeal.com, Groupon, WagJag, these sites where you go and you buy fantastic deals. Have you tried those out?
I have signed up to a few of them, and I look in my when the email comes in, and I'm thinking, you know what? I could really use a $10 coupon for $20 worth of tacos, but I've never done it yet.
You haven't bought it?
Not yet.
I've tried a few. I tried the massage one once. I tried to buy a couple's massage, but I've been unable at this point to actually book that massage because they oversold. And they're limiting the number that they can deliver, and it's kind of been a bit of a frustrating experience. Although, if I ever do get the massage, it will be a fantastic deal. And it's not the sort of thing you book ages out. But I've looked with great longing at things like laser hair removal and teeth whitening because I'd like to look better. Maybe I wouldn't have to be on radio if I'd done all those things.
I'd like you to look better too, Steve. So let's get on that.
we will definitely work on that. You know, there's before we get going today, I should kind of fill people in on a little bit of news. Of course, the iPad 2 launch happened, but there's one scam that's out there. Do you follow the computer scams, Art?
That I'm not that much of a geek.
Now, have you ever signed up and had the guy from Rwanda send you the millions of dollars? The general.
That's a scam.
The general's wife. That was a scam, unfortunately.
Ugh.
Yeah, and that one still comes through. There's one that I think they've done a really good job on. It's really creative. And
are you commending scammers now?
Well, you know what? If they almost fool me. If they make me look and read the email and think about it and actually kind of, you know, do a back check in my own mind, I think that they've done their job of being nefarious. And it's up to me now to kind of illuminate that to the rest of the world.
Hold on. I'm just Googling nefarious.
Nefarious.
Continue. Go ahead.
Bad guys.
Okay.
UPS. You get in my inbox today and last week, your UPS shipment has arrived or is scheduled for delivery. Click here to track it. And now if you've used shipping services, FedEx, UPS, you know you can online track your package, which is a great thing when you're worried about when something's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so now in my inbox is this UPS, you know, click here to scan for your package to see where it is. And you're thinking, oh, maybe somebody sent me a gift or maybe somebody's sending me something or I'm going to get something extra. And it, of course, is going to install a Trojan. It's not a virus. that's going to go through and erase your data or any of that sort of stuff. It's going to skim information off and try and steal information, try and steal your identity. And that information is going straight to probably some server in Russia or something. So be very careful. The rules that you should follow, if you don't have contact with this company, if you're not expecting it, don't click it, and never click on a link embedded in an email.
Absolutely.
Navigate to the website yourself if you want to go, and then enter your account information through the website. Because if you click in through there, it'll look like you're entering the website, but they are stealing your information. So that's our piece of news for the day.
It's only 5 minutes old in the show, and you've already helped thousands of people.
Well, at least dozens of people. You know, hopefully thousands eventually, but dozens to start. That would be a good start. Let's start talking about the iPad 2. Joining me in studio now for guest one of Dotto Tech Show One on the radio, Chris Miller from Mac Station. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for making me number one.
Yeah, you're number one because the number one story this week has got to be iPad 2 launching.
Oh,
not
yeah.
that you wouldn't be number one, considered for number one anyways, but the iPad's the star of this particular segment. Not so much you, Chris. Sorry.
I don't mind being associated with greatness.
So lineups galore starting, was it Friday that they launched? It launched on Friday.
Yeah.
And Apple had some embargo so that stores couldn't start selling it before 5.
Mm-hmm.
Was there lineups outside your store?
There were definitely lineups. Every place in town that was selling them, there were just throngs and throngs of people. Fortunately, at our place, they were a little bit more civilized, being Yale Town.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was some severe interest. People left our store, and there were rumors about guys standing out there offering people $1,000 for their $700 iPads.
Wow. So in your mind, what's the single compelling feature with iPad 2 that made people want to line up, other than the fact it's an Apple product?
Well, aside from that, it's got to be the camera. That's what everybody was talking about from the first one. That's what the people who were holding out for it were waiting for. That's the big show.
So when Apple released the original iPad, there was a lot of reluctance from the media to think that it was going to be a success because of a few glaring omissions. And the biggest glaring omission was the fact that it didn't have any visual reference. It didn't have any way of taking pictures, of taking video, of basically engaging in that sort of communication. And that everybody thought, just they scratched their heads. And this addresses that. And Apple didn't just do it once. They did it twice with the iPad 2. And 2 could stand for a lot of different things, but it's also standing for 2 cameras. So talk to me about the cameras.
Well, you got your front camera. That would be the camera facing yourself when using the device. And it's entirely meant for FaceTime or for Skype. It's video communication.
Yes.
That's what it's built for. So that's its primary purpose.
And slightly lower resolution than the outward-facing camera?
It is, yeah. I believe it's 3 megapixels as opposed to 5, which is on the outside one. When it's facing you and you're also holding it normally about a foot and a half from your own head, you don't need super high res.
Mm-hmm.
It looks just fine.
One of the things Apple did with their EyeSight cameras on their notebooks is they really did a good job of making them work well in low light conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Does this camera have the same benefit?
It does. It works as well as any mobile camera I've seen for that low of a resolution and for that purpose in working in low light. Also, the nice part is they don't ever really have to work in low light because if you're using it for FaceTime, the screen is on.
Ah.
And it's illuminating your mug.
Oh, I never thought about that. So you've got a built-in light source. That's okay. Well, that certainly would work for FaceTime. So in FaceTime, is that going to be where people are? Is that going to be the killer app to start with on the new version of the iPad?
FaceTime and Skype definitely are going to be the big ones. Just video communication. That's what people wanted from it. So much, and that's what they're getting.
So let's talk a little bit about the use of the iPad. I bought one originally for my dad, who's since passed away, but I wanted to get him an iPad because he was really interested in having an ebook reader was the main thing. But also I wanted him to have something that he could get his email on, and I wanted to take advantage of a lot of the different internet-related applications of the iPad. Now, it didn't work out that well. We found it a little bit heavy for him to hold and things like that as far as an ebook reader. But it's surprisingly found its way into our hearts, replacing having a notebook sitting beside on the coffee table beside the TV as we're watching hockey games or movies, settling bets. And it became our family standard web browsing tool. Mm-hmm. Is that your experience with it? Most people are feeling with the iPad? Is it carved out a new niche for itself, sort of?
Everybody I know that uses it, when I go to their place, it's on their couch. It's on their coffee table. It's not like the phone or the computer where it's shoved off to one corner and mm-hmm. you use it every now and again. It's sitting right in the middle of the room, and it's disappeared, essentially. It's just become something that's there.
And is it a community device in every home you see? Because I think it is. In my home, it's a community device. Every person grabs it and rubs their grimy fingers over it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of those things where you're having a conversation. You know, I heard this guy said, I tell you what, hand me the pad. Let me just show you.
Yeah.
That is by far the most common use I've seen of it, the iPad 1 at least.
Okay. So now set against that, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the applications of it a little bit later, is now the new functionality, which is the star of iPad 2, which is these forward and rear facing cameras for video communication. And FaceTime is Apple's chat application that works tremendously well. They've done a really good job with their compression. It really gives you a spectacular video conferencing experience. If you've used crummy old video conferencing before, you know, where the person's not moving very well on the other end and the video is very clipped, you won't experience that as long as you've got reasonable internet connections. It's the compression and quality is pretty outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't have friends that aren't on the Mac, they can still experience all of this just by using Skype.
By Skype, yeah.
And is Skype really the only other app that kind of steps up?
Skype is the most profound, universal one. Mm-hmm. It's the only one we're really worth recommending. I have seen a couple others, but as you said, their compression software just isn't there yet. And it's also not nearly as universally used, which is a huge point in its favor.
So for the most Mac, for most of the iPad 2 users, if they want to mock their non-Apple friends, they're going to start out by doing that through Skype, calling up their non-Apple friends, saying, I've got an iPad 2 and you don't, and look at me, and look there, there's my dog, and they're going to run around enjoying it.
No, we've seen a couple of times where even in the store, somebody was showing off an iPad, a new one, to their BlackBerry using friend, and they were showing them around the store to the other guy whose wife had an iPhone, and he was sitting there just glaring at it, just furious that he couldn't use it.
The playbook will be here soon. You just wait. And that's the other thing that Apple, the timing of this release, there was, I think, two things that Apple didn't have when they released the first iPad. One was cameras. The other was competition. And there is competition now on the spectrum. The Samsung Galaxy Tab, and now we're seeing the playbook about to be released, and people are taking dead aim at Apple. What's your sense of how that market's going to...
Well, I'm sure they're going to be fantastic products, but sometimes I really think that standing up the Galaxy, standing up to the iPad 2 is going to be like Alderaan standing up to the Death Star. It's just not going to go that well.
No bias here from the Mac guy.
Not at all. It's one of the reasons that a lot of Mac stuff has always been a little bit more user-friendly is the amount of energy put into the software.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they're going to be great devices from these guys, and Windows Mobile is interesting. But using together, the interface just doesn't ever seem to be as good. I've seen, like, if you are familiar with the HP touch computers,
mm-hmm.
and you've used that, it's never as good. It's never as tactile as using an iOS device.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to be competition. They're definitely going to be there as alternatives. But that's like saying Taurus is an alternative to a Bentley.
It's not quite that. I'll put a little perspective on it.
Please.
And first of all, Windows Phone 7, I'm a big fan of. I think they have done a tremendous job for a certain market segment. And a lot of that market segment's the market that's listening here, which is if you're over the age of 50, Windows Phone 7 is not a bad product. It really surprised me pleasantly because I wasn't expecting much from it. But more relevant is the Android applications, mm-hmm. which so many of these tablets are going to be based on. And in the challenge I think Google has, who developed the Android OS, is they seem to get bored at about the 90% mark. And it's the last 10% that Apple's always done the best. And that's Steve Jobs' personality, is the insistence on the detail. And that's where the challenge, and the Android-based devices that I've played with are phenomenally powerful. But you have to be willing to be a geek. You have to be willing to hack in, and you have to be willing to put up with things not working the way they should or they could, or you have to wait for it, and you have to make it work. Whereas when you deal with an Apple-based product, you're dealing with something that's finished. And you don't have to worry. It's going to work the way that it's advertised and expected. Most of the time.
I mean, the direct reason why Apple, in the end product has always been so advantageous. What their big leap ahead is they make the hardware and the software.
Mm-hmm.
So the software guys don't have to guess what the hardware is going to be like. The hardware guys don't have to anticipate the software. They talk. They know about it. Whereas with every other device, one guy makes the software and another guy makes the hardware, and then they try to mesh it after the fact, which is always going to be a lesser product. Now, not to say that it won't ever be great and even be at one point better, just to say that Apple has an extreme advantage, and they also have a year ahead in the marketplace owning.
They've been running. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the physical nature, the speed, the size, and the other changes with iPad 2. Just released this week. Did you get one? Did you stand outside and pay $1,000 for one? We're going to take a quick break. More of Dotto Tech in just a few seconds.
Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Welcome back to Dotto Tech. I actually have in my hot little hands my new iPad 2. It's just been delivered to me. I haven't actually used it very much, but Chris Miller from MacStation brought it out. And actually, before I go on, you guys have a really cool deal for people that have iPads 1s.
Yes, we do.
Because that's the deal that I took advantage of. You can trade in your iPad 1, and you give credit, which is pretty much what you're going to get for it on Craigslist or some of the other places.
Mm-hmm.
Save the taxes. And you can upgrade to a new model.
Yeah, it's what we've been doing with computers for quite some time, but with the iPads, it's new for us for a mobile device.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a machine and it's in reasonably good conditions, not too beat up, we'll take it in for fair value and take the money off the new device. So you're convincing your significant other that you must have the new device just got half as easy.
It just got better. So now I'm playing with it, and I'm noticing some differences and a lot of similarities with my iPad 1. First is... is the screen better?
They say the screen is the same.
It looks better.
As I said,
new.
It is also brand new, and you still have the Saran wrap I'm noticing on.
I'm not going to take the Saran wrap off ever because I don't like the fingerprints on it. It gets gungy. Okay, now Apple says they've made it a lot smaller, and they have made it a lot smaller, but they haven't really made it lighter, which kind of disappoints me a little bit. But let's talk about the physical size. They've actually made it thinner.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
It's gone to about 60% the original width, shall we say depth.
Yes, yes. So it is a little bit thinner in your hand, but the weight, they've only shaved...
about 10-15%, something like 80 grams.
And that's the one area that I would have liked to see it drop a little bit, just because I find it too heavy to hold as an ebook reader. And that's always been the only criticism I really have of the device is as an ebook reader. Holding it, my hand gets tired, so I prefer reading on a much less... exciting device like a Kobo or something like that. As far as reading books, I just find that more pleasant. Personally, that's a personal thing. As far as the speed, the memory is going to be what you order. Basically, of 32 or 64 gig. What about the speed of it? Have they upped that?
It's a great deal faster. Not something that I think an average user would notice in their general use, but a harder user would definitely see it.
Where am I going to notice that speed? Because it always has reacted instantly to everything I've been doing. It loads almost applications almost instantly. Who's going to take advantage of that speed? Is that for FaceTime? Is that a place that it's needed?
FaceTime is definitely going to see a little bit of an advantage there. I don't really think that was what it was for. The two places you're really going to notice it is if you take this and sit it beside your iPad 1 and move the screen back and forth using your fingers, you will see that the iPad 2 follows your finger quite a little bit quicker. There's no delay. There's no lag.
Okay.
Second, where you're going to see it is games.
Okay.
And gaming on the iOS is taking off. The graphics card on this is insanely powerful, and the games that are coming out of it now are just as good and look just as good as games that you would get on a computer these days.
Okay, so the game... I did have one thought. What about... I'm seeing more and more people doing... video editing on their iPad. Is that a processor intensive application that's going to make a big difference on it?
Well, certainly, because iMovie, the new iMovie for iPad, is not available for iPad 1 because it needs the system resources for the second one.
It needs the extra horsepower. And of course, for those of us who are fashion conscious, it's now available in black and white.
In case you want to take it out on the town with you, you can color coordinate to your heart's content.
Maybe you should have one of each. What are you? Are you a black guy or a white guy?
I'd go with the black, just because I find it would it allows the screen to disappear a little bit easier. But not to say the white isn't also good. It's just a matter of taste.
I think white's for more styling people. For those of us that like to fade into the background a little bit, the black is gonna work. I've chosen black for me. So I'm going to play with this for a little bit. We'll be talking about the iPad 2 more in upcoming shows as we kind of get our heads around it a little bit more. Hey, my first segment is done with Chris Miller.
Congratulations.
Wow, Dotto Tech, we're off to a flying start.
Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Thanks, Apple. Thanks, Chris. We're going to take a quick break and return with more Dotto Tech in just a few minutes.
Fit Tech is brought to you by Fit for Work, leaders in corporate health and wellness programs. Your fitness is our job.
We are back on Dotto Tech, and it is that time each week when we consider our health. And our health advisor... our technological health? No, not technological. Our physical health.
Physical.
PJ yeah. Rand from Fit for Work. PJ, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
PJ, let's talk a little bit about corporate fitness programs, because companies invest in technology. They invest in the best people that they can get working that technology. They invest in marketing. They invest in all sorts of areas. But investing in actually getting their employees healthier while they're at work, that's something that's foreign to a lot of companies.
It is foreign, and they do it quite a bit in China and Japan and areas like that. And we're just starting to see that over here in North America. Because corporate fitness isn't a buzzword. You actually need to keep your employees healthy, and you're going to see a return on your investment with absenteeism, productivity. You're going to be attracting new talent because they're going to be more
lifestyle.
Yeah, well, no, but you want to get the best talent that you can have. So if you can advertise that you've got a wellness program or an on-site gym, you're going to be able to track that individual more than company ABC that doesn't have something like that.
So it can be something as simple as a regular walk-run program at lunchtime.
Yep.
And where do you find leadership for that within an organization? Because people stepping forward and saying, I'm going to be a leader in that. How do you
in our line of work? Yeah, in our line of work, we find that usually the HR department. Now, if you're a smaller company that doesn't have sort of a traditional HR department, try and pick the healthiest person in the bunch. They're going to be motivated and they're going to want to get people moving. But, barring that, hire a company too that knows what they're doing, that can come on site and get everybody moving.
Does it elevate the esprit de corps in a company? Do people have a better attitude towards work?
Oh, huge. Huge, yeah. And I've put on some studies on the blog relating to that. There's a huge organization in the States called Wellness Council of America, and they do a lot of studies on this. And they just recently reported that for every dollar spent on a wellness program, so that can be a wide range of things, you'll see a $24 return on your investment. So there's not, I don't know of any other investment where you get that type of return.
And everybody benefits.
Everybody benefits
right across
yep.
the board.
Yep.
I
was just going to say, though, middle management and upper management has to embrace it because it's got to follow from the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to, walk the talk.
And that's what I was asking about leadership, because having somebody that's, a junior position within a company trying to push it ahead, as opposed to having one of the senior managers saying, this is good. Because,
yeah, you don't exactly want the coffee guy telling the president to go out for a walk.
Because they say, come on, everybody, let's go for a walk. And everybody goes, you don't really affect my life.
So. You know what? Put a sign-up sheet in the lunchroom, though. Because you always grab a few from there will blossom into a few more and so forth.
And there's not just boring walking, but you can have fun with it. You can have weight loss challenges and you can do other things
that really kind of tie it into a weight loss challenge. And that's actually quite big with the Biggest Loser now. So you try to lose the most amount of weight. We actually sell, we've got a 6-week program that we do that, but companies can do that within their own company as well. And like you said, tie it in with a walking group or healthy eating on Fridays, that sort of idea.
All this detail on the website. In PJ's log, PJ Rand from Fit for Work. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Fit for Work, making sluggish workplaces into invigorated workplaces. Visit us online at www.fitforwork.ca. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Welcome back to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto. How's your week going, Art?
I'm enjoying it. Thank you very much.
A nice, relaxing week. A week for one of my friends last week wasn't so good.
How come?
Get a phone call. Steve, my Mac's making a funny noise. Sheila's calling me.
You're the go-to guy every time, right?
Oh, you wouldn't believe. At parties, the doctors are in the corner telling people, that's just a mole. And I'm in the corner saying, I think you better reboot. Did you try reinstalling?
Yeah. Fixing people's BlackBerries and stuff.
Oh, yeah, all the time. So anyway, Sheila says, my Mac's making a funny noise. What sort of noise? Grinding. Okay, what does the screen say? She says, well, it's just a sad face flickering to a question mark. And then she says, is that bad? What do you think? You think that might be bad?
I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing.
Yeah, her hard drive was toast, right? Completely toast. So I said, you backed up, right? She goes, no. No.
Is that something that is necessary?
So that grinding noise, Sheila's memories going away. All of her documents, all of her files, all of her emails, all of her music, and all of her photos.
Oh.
You know, if she'd backed up, it's a minor inconvenience. As it is, it's a tragedy. It's a profound tragedy to some people. And it happens over and over and over. And I hear stories from it. Almost everybody you know has lost photos to a hard disk crash. Think about it. Am I right?
Absolutely. And we put so much time and effort into putting everything in one place. Once that one place is gone, then what happens?
And it's so easy to back up. So first way you bought backup. Buy a portable hard drive. Have you checked out the price of portable hard drives at London Drugs?
That I've done.
Under $100, like you can get like 800 bazillion gigabyte drive. And it USB, plug it in. There's always a backup utility on it. Backup your data. That's the simplest way to do it. But it's not my favorite way, because the bottom line is you still have to incrementally remember to backup. And for most of us, it's not the process of backing up. It's remembering to do it. It's like a chore that we just don't remember all the time. That's the problem. Right?
But it's a good chore.
Yeah, but it's a good chore, but we just don't do it because we're busy. Right?
I'll admit, I rarely do it.
And physically, if you're backing up on the physical data in your premises, a fire, theft, you can still lose it. That's the bottom line, is it can still be lost. The online solutions, have you checked out the online solutions?
Not yet.
Go to the website. They're on the website. There's a lot of really good online solutions to choose from. They start at about $4.95 a month if you're paying for the service. Some of them are free right out of the get-go. Now, I've listed two on our website that I quite like. It's called iDrive, and both of them start with a free service. Mosey, I think, gives you 2 gigabytes free, and iDrive gives you 5 gigabytes of free storage just by signing up. Now, of course, they want you to sign up for a more elaborate account, starting at about $5 a month, and they'll give you like up to 150 gigabytes at that point, which is something that you should be considering. But the beauty of these services is as soon as you sign up and as soon as you kind of start the process, you configure your system once to back up, and then it does it in the background automatically. As you add files, as you add photos, as you buy music on iTunes, it automatically streams and backs it up into the cloud, onto the web, so that if your computer's stolen, if it's lost, if your computer crashes, you can now download all of your files and you never lose them. So you never have to worry again. Just think about how good that is.
My question, though, is about security.
Good question, Kimosabi.
What if I was to, have, say,
sensitive documents?
Yeah, let's call them sensitive documents.
The files are encrypted as they go, so they're not even in the form. Like somebody can't browse through the file at the other end, browse through your drive and look at your data. It's all encrypted.
I like that.
That is good. And the guys at iDrive have one. They've got a few extra services. One they've got is they've got backup services for smartphones, iPhones, BlackBerries, so you can back up your contacts, your calendar appointments, and all of the data on your phone, which is pretty cool because people do lose their phones a lot.
I went through that about a year ago.
Did you?
After having a phone for 2 years and having contacts anywhere from the Vancouver Canucks and to my grandmother, and I lost every single phone number.
Oh my.
2 years.
And you didn't have them backed up?
No, I did not.
This is a lesson. Don't be an art. Don't be a Sheila. So they've got the service for backing up your phone, which is great, because you can also not just lose it. I dropped one in a toilet once. That was bad. A BlackBerry in a toilet.
Oh.
So I got it out. And I walked out of the restroom. I was in the Los Angeles airport. And I said, Shan, I dropped the BlackBerry in the toilet. And you know what she says?
She said, stop drinking, Steve.
No, I wasn't drunk. You know what she says?
What did she say?
Did you wash your hands? Just my BlackBerry is like, there's sparks coming out of it, and you're worried if I washed my hands. And anyway, the other service that they have, these folks at iDesk have, is they've got this, if you lose your computer, you can send them $70, and they will ship you a little, like a 320 gigabyte USB drive with all of your data backed up on it already. So you don't even have to wait for the download over the internet, because that could take a long time, especially if you're in a dial-up modem because you live somewhere in the boonies. But you can plug it in, and you got a bonus hard drive out of it with all your data on it. That's a pretty cool way to restore if you think about it.
Wow. It's like you're from the future, Steve. That's what I like about you.
It's like I'm from the future, yes, where all of your photos are always safe. So what are you going to do after the show today? Are you going to go and you're going to figure out how to back up your data?
I'm going to go read the instruction manual to that portable hard drive I bought a year ago.
At dottotech.com? You can, or go online. You can do it there,
that
too,
I can
right?
do, too.
That's good. Art's making a commitment now to back up everything.
You're keeping me real, Steve. Thank
you. Good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. More of Dottotech in just a few seconds. Now, I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to take a trial to see just how well I slept. And I did this trial with London Drugs. Joining me in studio now is Pindi Jandich. Pindi is a patient care pharmacist from London Drugs. And you guys have this incredible program
Yes. Where
we take a piece of technology, Stick it on your wrist, and it tells you how well you snooze.
Right.
It's a sleep watch, and you call them clinics, but it's not a clinic where you go in and sit and you do the whole thing. It's because you do this trial for like a week with this watch.
Right. I think we use the term clinic because it is a one-on-one consultation with the individual who is participating, so the information is completely confidential and private.
So let's kind of go through the process. So if
okay.
you and I think this is almost for everybody, because even if you think you get enough sleep, Knowing your sleep patterns is a healthy thing to do.
Right. I mean, just by common sense, sleeping.
No.
Generally.
I'm asleep.
You know, exactly. So we do have some patients who come in who know for sure that they do not sleep well. But there's other people who are unsure.
And what this does is this really gives you all of the kind of the preliminary information to know if you should dive deeper into it or if there's some things you can do just lifestyle-wise to improve your health. Because sleep has a profound impact. As I did research on this,
Okay. It
amazed me how much impact it had on health.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to lose weight, people that take the same amount of calories coming in, they get an hour more sleep a night, they lose weight like 25 or 30% faster than people that are just getting less sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew sleep was calories?
Who knew?
But it's how healthy your body is and how it's reacting, right?
Absolutely. Well, there's two components to sleep. There is what we call the sleep reservoir, which is almost like your bank of sleep or your bank of rest that your body has. And the other part is your body clock itself. So what this clinic does, or what the watch does, it actually maps out your sleep pattern. So that 7 days of data is collected and then analyzed specifically about you.
And this is not the same type of data as when you go into a sleep clinic and you sleep like at the UBC sleep clinic and they sit there and they measure your REM sleep and your REM sleep and your RAP sleep and all the different levels of sleep. I just made up.
Right. Well, actually measuring the different stages of sleep and REM
Yes. Is
a separate type of analysis. Mm-hmm. However, the analysis that we're doing is still 92% equivalent to doing the same category or screening type of analysis at the sleep clinic.
And it determines what your patterns are and then If they're from. So let's walk through the process. So if Somebody's interested, what do they have to do? First of all, how much of cost?
All right. The cost is $39 and they receive a tax deductible receipt. Many third party plans do cover it because it is a health and wellness initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So it is covered. They come in, they say, you know what? I'd like to try out the sleep watch. Most of our locations have the sleep watch available and they just sign the form, they get the watch, they wear it.
And you have to book in advance because it only starts like once a week usually per location?
Well, actually, it depends on the location.
Okay.
So I'm a patient care pharmacist and many of my colleagues are as well. So if you happen to be at the store where I am located at regularly, it's much faster to get in.
Okay.
If not, it may be maybe just a two-week waiting period, but it's usually not that long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very quick. But it is an individual appointment, like you mentioned.
So you come in for the first consultation, and it's 15 or 20 minutes. You fill out a little form.
Yeah, not even. It's like 5 minutes to get the watch put on.
I think it took 15 minutes.
Did it take 15 minutes?
We had lots of questions.
You had lots of questions?
Well, maybe I was asking more questions.
Okay, well, fair enough. But the actual work is just filling out a couple individual paperwork, just in terms of the watch and the serial number.
Okay.
Technicalities.
And we
strap, give you a little bit of feedback on the watch, like, please don't take it off longer than an hour. I mean, I usually say just leave it on if you have to. If you get water stuck underneath it, then take it off to wipe it off.
They told me I couldn't take it off until I was paranoid. And she put it on so tight, it cut off circulation.
Exactly. It doesn't need to get put on that way. I mean, mind you, it's a very new program.
Yeah.
I was one of the few pharmacists who was also part of the pilot program back in May.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've been able to – my store knows that, you know, you don't really need to put it on that tight. It needs to be tight enough that it is moving with your wrist every time your wrist moves.
because it's measuring emotion and when you settle down to sleep in it. And so after wearing it for a week, it gets exciting because you go in and you find out. And first of all, an interesting process happens. For the whole week, you start thinking about how you sleep, which is a healthy process because it's not something we consider. And you probably do a little bit of research and you start to realize, wow, sleep deprivation does all these problems.
Absolutely.
And all these things are attached. So, but you don't sleep any better than a week because, you know, we're not.
No, if anything, you may be sleeping not as well because now you're all conscious about it.
Thinking about it. So you come in for your consultation. Mm-hmm. They take off your watch. They run this report and the report is eye-opening.
It is eye-opening. So the report is a 5-page report. And we go over the report with the patient. They also receive a digital copy of the report. Many people like to have that digital file as well. And we go over it. Now, the first page of the report is showing them the data collection itself. Mm-hmm. So on that page, we would want to see, do they have a lot of gaps in their sleep? Are they waking up quite a bit? And that would maybe cue us for other issues that we would discuss with them.
So then that opens the door if you have sleep apnea, if you have some other condition that is interfering with your sleep and could be a serious health risk.
Right, because what we want to emphasize is it's not a diagnostic session. It is a screening session. But at least we're able to pinpoint what we're screening for because we have this individual information.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, but the rest of the data is really interesting. Mm-hmm. The thing that was compelling to me, and you can tell me if 90%, I think everybody falls into this category. I was at my age, 52 now, incredibly consistent in my wake-up time. I woke up within minutes every day. And if I looked at my activity grid, taking the dog for the walk, it was really consistent through the day. Mm-hmm. What was completely inconsistent was bedtime. The time that I went to bed and the time that I actually fell asleep.
Okay.
In the week, it ranged 4, 5, 6 hours. And that's a problem because
that's
I wasn't consistent.
Problem. That's right. And it's supposed to be a 30-minute window.
Not even close.
Many, you know, generally people, I go to bed around the same time. I go to 11:30 every night. And you don't.
I don't.
No.
Not even close. Mm-hmm. Once I was asleep, I was okay. So I'm healthy as far as all my sleep stuff goes. It's getting a regular bedtime. And then the amount of sleep. It's like everything else. How much, what's the right amount? They really say 7.5 hours is what you need. And I'm only getting 6.5 hours.
You're only getting 6.5. And then, the other number that people find quite interesting is the sleep efficiency number.
Oh, yes. It's like, and they do a smart job. You make it equivalent to how much booze you drink and is what your proficiency is.
Right.
And so if you think about having 2 glasses of wine, how good you react as opposed to no glasses.
Exactly. Well, because you looked up the history of the company and the software and the program. So it has a military application. It's used in the U.S. Navy. So there's two different correlations that are made from the data. The first one is the sleep efficiency. So you want to know that the sleep you're getting is actually restoring your body. There's no point in sleeping for 10 hours if most of it was not useful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be between 85 and 100%. So you get that percentage mark. Then the next level is, like you mentioned, the blood alcohol equivalent because it gives us somebody a reference point, per se, so that most of us want to be in normal functioning capacity.
Yeah.
So when this software is used in the military, they want to see what that soldier's percentage of error is.
Okay.
What is his possible risk of making an error? So when the patients come into London Drugs and receive their report, they're all
good. See, I thought completely the other thing. I was thinking, wow, if I can cut back to 5.5 hours sleep, I don't have to buy alcohol anymore.
Well,
I'm half cut all the time now.
It's a cost savings. There you go.
So if people are interested, they can drop by the website at londondrugs.com. There's information there on SleepWatch or drop into their pharmacy,
ask for a
patient care pharmacist, and they can book their own SleepWatch clinic.
Absolutely.
That's Pindi Janda from London Drugs. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break and return with more Dotto Tech in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Welcome back to Dotto Tech. One of the real phenomenons that is exploding online is the concept of social couponing. You've seen them, the WagJags, the Getting Social, the Groupons of the world. And all of your friends have told you to sign up and you're looking for bargains and you're getting your teeth whitened and your hair removed and lobster dinners. And so I wanted to kind of explore this phenomenon. But I want to start by talking to somebody who's used it as a merchant. selling their services. So joining me in studio now, Ryan Mooney. Ryan is the artistic director of Fighting Chance Productions, one of the really nice, small, successful Vancouver theater companies. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to bring you in. And you started to use Groupon in your marketing efforts. Now, let's talk a little about the theater community in Vancouver. It's kind of unique. We've got a couple of small theater companies that are quite successful in the city, mainly because of their clarity at social marketing, and you guys are one of them.
Yeah, we came on the scene in 2007, right before, I guess Facebook was around, but it was not anywhere near what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we started, I put together a Facebook group and, you know, would invite all my friends to it and that sort of thing. So we've been using Facebook, Twitter, you know, trying to keep on as much of the social media trends as possible. It's helped us really grow our company.
And one of the interesting things that helped you grow, I think, is the fact that not only has it put you in touch with your audience, but it's really put you in touch with a whole new group of talent that might not know about your productions. And so you've managed to use it to increase the caliber of the productions that you're producing.
Absolutely. When we did Rent a few years ago, we started a group specifically for that. And within a month and a half, 1,300 people had joined that group. And that's how we advertised our auditions. And
you create a lot of hype around the people wanting to be in it. So you made the show an event, got the best cast you could, and the results showed on stage.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So when I started talking about the social couponing center, well, we did that.
Yeah.
And so tell me about your experience with it.
Well, we do an event in conjunction with the Vancouver Alpine Club called the Awesome 80s Prom. And what it is like a Tony and Tina's Wedding type event where people come and there's actors and such. And we did a trial
run. Is it set in the 80s?
It's set in 1989 at Wanna Get High Senior Prom.
Amazing how I've never been to this particular event.
Well, you should come.
Okay.
Might help you relive the glory days.
Yes. Mine were in the 70s.
Oh, well, there you go. So we did a trial run of it back in March 2010, and we decided we wanted to bring it back, but we realized it wasn't necessarily something that the general theater-going public would be interested in. So we thought, well, why don't we try putting it up on Groupon? The Alpine Club had done a Groupon where they sold 1,500 Groupons or something like that in a day
for
food at the German
Schnitzel.
Hall. Schnitzel and beer and you name it. And,
I'd buy Schnitzel on Groupon.
It was like $15 for $35 worth of food or whatever.
There
so.
You go.
So we popped it on there as part of a Christmas promotion that they were doing. So we had 3 days on there, and we packaged it. We did two tickets for $40. Tickets are normally $40, so we did two tickets for $40.
So you cut your price in half.
Cut the price in half with Groupon. That's what you have to do. So the
gotta
two
give
tickets
a deal.
Are
they're looking for smoking deals.
Yeah, I think 50% is minimum.
Oh, okay,
minimum what you can have to do. I think with Groupon, and it worked really well. I mean, we sold 219. Pairs, so 400 and whatever that is, 438 tickets.
Seats, yeah.
Yeah, and back in February was the biggest one we had. We had 270 people there,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, everyone came in. They had their slips, and they.
Now, did you approach it as a lost leader, as in something we're trying to bring people in so we can bring them back, or were you looking at no, we have to make money on this deal now?
Well, the prom is very cheap for us to put on, mm-hmm. because we do it in partnership with the Alpine Club. So for us, it was a moneymaker.
So you were still going to make money, even reducing your ticket prices that much?
Absolutely, yeah. We actually, the ticket price is a little bit higher than we would have charged had we not used Groupon.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to increase the ticket price a little bit because we knew that if word got out, Tony and Tina's Wedding used to charge $95 for their show, whereas, you know, $40 for essentially the same thing except without food is a pretty good deal. But yeah, so it wasn't a loss in any way, especially because of the 400 people that came. You know, I manage a lot of our ticket reservations for the company because we are a very small company, and I'm pretty good with names, and I did not recognize about 85-90% of the names who had bought it. So really it
opened you up to a new market.
Absolutely. And when they come, we get their email addresses when we're there, they go on our mailing list, and hopefully they come back.
Now, is this something that you'll consider for your more traditional productions?
I think it would be hard to do for one show.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at, we're talking with Groupon right now about, we sell a season
mm-hmm.
Subscription, so you get five shows for whatever. We are looking at the potential of bringing that to Groupon and saying, let's sell a season subscription. Because with one show, $30, you're cutting your price in half, $15. And actually with Groupon, they take half of your half. So really, you're getting about 25% of
your
ticket
price.
So
if you sell out, it's like having a 25% house. That's not
that's
really difficult. Yeah.
Exactly. You're making $750 a ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's but overall, it was a success. And
absolutely.
It said that you're going to use on event-based stuff, especially where you're in partnership and you've got a little bit more margin as a product. And dealing with them was pretty streamlined?
I found them very, very easy to deal with. So, our check came a week after the event. They do it in 3 installments, mm-hmm. and it worked really well for us.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to kind of hear the story from the vendor's perspective.
Absolutely.
What's your next show coming up? You might as well talk about the Wiz,
a hip-hop take on The Wizard of Oz, playing in April at Performance Works, the end of April.
Performance Works down in Granville Island.
Yeah.
Well, I will be there for The Wiz, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Steve.
Ryan Mooney of Fighting Chance Productions. We'll have a link to his site on our site. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this social couponing phenomenon. We're going to bring on one of the companies that actually is pretty big here in Vancouver, GoLowDeal.com. We're going to be talking to them about their experiences in the market, why they got into it, and how they approach it as well. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech. We're continuing our conversation about social couponing, and joining me on the phone now, all the way from Dallas, Texas, is Matt Locke Threadgill, who is with GoLowDeal.com. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
Matt, you guys are head-to-head competitors with people like Groupon and Living Social, but you're kind of a little more boutique. You're starting into the marketplace a little bit differently. Why did you guys decide that this was a marketplace that you wanted to enter, since it seems like almost a gold rush to social couponing?
Well, there's certainly it's been a successful business model. It's been proven, which is good. Our approach is a little bit different because it's a little bit of a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I have a traditional marketing background, so I really wanted to combine the model that Groupon was using, which is kind of a customer acquisition model, along with traditional advertising. And the way we figured it was, the best way to enter a local market was through radio. It's very promotional in nature. It serves the local advertisers very well. It has a very loyal listening base. And most radio stations go far beyond the airwaves. They have great websites. They have large databases. They have very active social media communities. So we felt that by partnering with radio stations, that'd be the way to go. And so we offer our merchants a little bit more than just simply running a deal, running an e-coupon or a social media deal. We're actually offering radio spots along with that actual awareness via radio.
And
we're a little bit different in that regard.
And really, you've caught part of the essence of social media and the fact that it's you're constantly changing your hats whenever you're doing anything in social media. You're going from content consumer to content publisher, back and forth. And the fact that you're offering promotions for companies, you're also marketing just the brand and the name of them to a huge marketplace when you're engaged in a social media campaign like this. So it kind of makes sense that you're kind of crossing over into the traditional media space and the traditional media value for your clients.
Right. And I think it really, at the end of the day, whether it's Groupon or Living Social or any of these sites, or even just traditional couponing, it's still a marketing function. So there is a lot of crossover there, and I think you're going to continue to see a lot of crossover in the industry as it moves forward.
So let's talk a little bit about the customer experience and what makes a great deal and how that side of the business is working. And are people basically, the customer is looking for the best bargain that they can find, right?
That's for sure. And with the proliferation of all these different deal sites that are out there and aggregation sites that are out there, it is all about the deal. There is no real brand loyalty per se. I mean, some people might be more prone for Living Social or Groupon or whatnot, but really they're going to buy the best deal that suits them at the right time, and that's the way it goes, or maybe a location that's near them, or maybe a restaurant or company that they'd like to try. So there definitely is the deal, the quality of the deal still rules.
And I think there's a bit of a double-edged sword here, though, because when people are now overextending themselves, they're looking at this gold rush, they're saying we can sell, 8,000 massages, and then they don't have the ability to provide 8,000 massages. So it can become a bit for the, I imagine for you guys and for the supplier, it can become a bit of a PR nightmare down the road if they don't set reasonable expectations and reasonable goals and understand going in exactly what they're offering.
Right, and the onus is on us as the deal provider to really train those merchants that, yes, because part of this tool is a customer acquisition type tool, obviously you're going for a positive experience with the brand. And if they have a negative experience, you've really missed the mark. And so,
and you don't recover from that.
Train those merchants. What now?
And you don't recover from that. If you've turned somebody off on this deal, that's it. They're not coming back as a customer.
Right. And the whole point of this, doing these deals, is to get customers in the door and get repeat customers in the door. So if you miss the mark and cannot serve your customers that are coming in, then you really haven't done, you've really actually had a, you know, it's gone negatively in that respect. So you definitely have to train the merchants on how to prepare, when to cut off, and everything like that.
What about, you've said several times, customer acquisition with this social couponing. Is there a business case to be made? What percentage of your clients do you think are in it to actually make money off of the venture, and other ones to just acquire customers so they can make money in the future off the venture?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's kind of a moving target. I would think the majority are more in the customer acquisition. I mean, essentially, but by the time you cut in everybody who gets a piece of the deal, they're really offering up their product or service at a significant discount, you know, 75-80% off. So really for them, it only makes sense if you're getting customers in the door and you're keeping those customers. And that's really the objective that I talk to every single merchant, every single client about. And the fact that we have radio along with that, especially in the Vancouver area, really helps that brand awareness as well. But, yeah, it's all about getting people in the door and keeping them in the door and hopefully upselling them from there.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. Out of all of the promotions that you've done, which are the ones that have caught your imagination the most?
Well, we've had – I think timing is a really big part of this business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that – things like running gym deals and things like that right after
New Year's,
first of the year, is good.
Yes.
Mother's Day is coming up. That's going to be a big push for us because most of these deals are female focused as well.
Uh-huh. So facials.
I think you're going to see a lot more kind of cross promoting, if you will. So I think you're going to see different brands going into different. Going into things, you know, kind of partnering, if you will, to promote a deal. I think events are also really going to be something on the horizon. Today we're running an event for the auto show in Vancouver.
Yep.
So I think it's a really good tool, especially with us utilizing radio as well. It's a really good tool for events. So I think you're going to see a lot more concerts and events. And those are really fun for the customers as well.
For those in the Vancouver area, golowdeal.com, soon to be in Victoria and other markets right across the country, and they are growing at a slightly different pace than the Groupons of the world, but with a much more mature approach to the marketplace. Matlock Threadgill, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. You have a good evening there in Dallas, Texas.
Will do. Thank you.
We are going to take a break, return with more of Dotto Tech right after this.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Joining me in studio right now to talk about our App of the Week, Chris Miller from MacStation. Chris, thanks for joining us.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. And you wanted to talk today about Netflix. I'm not a convert to Netflix. I haven't actually tried it, so I might not be the right person to ask, but what's the deal with Netflix?
Netflix is a great app and service all bundled together. For $10, you get access to a full library of films on pretty much whatever device you want.
And so one account, this must be one of the keys to it. One account, I buy a Netflix account. How much does it cost me a month?
$10. $9.99.
Okay, $10 a month, and it runs on all my devices. It'll run on my iPod Touch, on my iPad.
The whole kit. iPod Touch, iPhone, iPad, computer, Apple TV, whatever you like.
And so, same account.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Okay, and then what content do we have? Is it just old movies or is it new movies? What's the
level
of content?
It's old movies, new movies, TV shows, old TV shows. The National Film Board just put their listing on there, so you've got all the old animated stuff. The Buster Keaton stuff from the 50s is on there. All the way up to new HBO series that actually even the American Netflix accounts don't have yet.
Okay, now what about access? One of the things I keep thinking about, okay, if I've got a mobility device, and I can remember TELUS years ago was advertising, you're going to watch movies on your phone. And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not spending my bandwidth on movies on my phone. But all these devices are now hybrid as far as the networking goes. Are people going to be just using it Wi-Fi for the most part?
Wi-Fi is still probably going to be the prime mover for this. 3G still isn't fast enough,
mm-hmm.
And it would
despite
lie a little
what
bit,
the TV commercials will tell us.
Despite what they may tell you,
yeah.
But Wi-Fi
is pretty much everywhere, especially in this city. You can walk around and not really need the 3G too much. So it'll work just fine just about everywhere.
Now, the proof, as far as I'm concerned, about any service is if it changes the way you do things, if it changes your habits. So you're a bit of a video buff. You like watching?
I like movies.
You like the movies. Do you mind watching them, first of all, on the little screen?
Depending on the context, if I'm sitting in a doctor's office or I'm about to go to bed, a little screen is just fine for me.
Okay. And has it changed the way that you watch movies?
I'll tell you, I'll put it to you this way. Now that you can get your movies so conveniently, and it's more convenient to get your movies for free than it is to steal them, most of my friends have just stopped torrenting.
So instead of looking on the torrents, wondering about the quality of the download, if you're going to be getting it, they're legal. It's making
completely.
People, which might have a real benefit to people as far as their ego is concerned. They don't have to worry. They don't have to look over their shoulder.
It's probably going to be a big industry changer, too, because Netflix just bought their first original series. They are going to have...
like HBO.
Yeah.
They're modeling
completely producing it and going to make it themselves. It's going to be released on Netflix and nowhere else first.
Are they a monster of the internet? Like, is Netflix going to be like the next monster?
It's going to be a big deal. Mm. It all depends on whether people are going to jump on the Netflix bandwagon or not, but... there you are.
Okay. So Netflix, you can download it at the App Store. You can find it online.
It's through a computer. It works through just your Internet Explorer or your Firefox or Chrome or whatever you use, or Safari.
Okay.
On the iPad and the iPod Touch and everything else, it works as an app.
So we will have details on a blog on our site. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation.
My, how time flies when you're scrambling to put together your first show of a new venture. So that's all the time we have for this week for Dotto Tech. I got to thank all the guests who made the show a success today. PJ Wren, Pindy Janda, Chris Miller, Ryan Mooney, and the wonderful moniker, Matlock Threadgill. And I also have to thank the behind-the-scenes team that worked so hard to put the show together. My web team, Ron Jacklin at the Media FX Group with Alex Brown and Joe Ocampo, they did a great job making sure the website was ready so that when you go, you see us in our best light. And the team here at AM 650, Brad Phillips, the manager who had conversations with me dating back almost a year to try and build this show and try and figure out what we might like to do on air. Victoria Nelson, Stu Ferguson here, who really put the deal together to make it work. Casey White, who's helped us out a lot. And of course, our erstwhile producer, Art Factora. And after one episode, you're erstwhile. It's just uphill from here. You're just going to have to slog it out because now you've set high expectations.
Oh, great.
And that's the worst thing to do. When you go into a new relationship, always set the bar low, then you can surprise. That's a piece of advice for the future.
That is my motto for the rest of the
Maybe you wouldn't have so many exes if you'd followed that particular motto.
Tech and relationship advice. Perfect.
It's an awesome show. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking about online taxes and other things. Don't not listen because you think online taxes are boring. It is a fascinating topic. You'll be glad you listened. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for tuning in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.